praise the Lord that the doors are now open again. That's a good thing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Open up to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And we are going to... Pastor Johnny, are you going to be out there? You go out there? I thought, because Chris was out there Sunday, bring him in, please. Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to talk about making tough choices tonight. Making tough choices. Who knows about making tough choices? Every one of us in here have had to make tough choices at times. And with some people, the choices have been tougher than others. But making tough choices is the title tonight. Now, I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to look at verse number 16. It reads this way, wash you. That's a good word. In other words, take a shower, bathe, no, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Do you remember on Sunday we were talking about considering your ways or your course of life? Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. So he's saying, take a look at yourself and consider your ways. Verse 17, learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. We love that verse. Amen. Verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So, The verse I want to focus on is verse 19, but there are other verses surrounding it that lead up to that. And that if you are willing and obedient, you're going to eat the good of the land really applies. So making a tough choice, are you going to be willing and obedient? See, it's not enough just to be willing and then never do it. It's not enough to do it and do it unwillingly. It says willing and obedient. In other words, your heart's in it. Willing and obedient. Willing and obedient to make the tough choices in your life. Praise God. Now, I don't know why that should be so difficult, but it is for a lot of folks to make the right choices. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Let's go back to the fifth. Is it the fifth book of the Bible, Joshua? Sixth book. Joshua chapter 1. And I want to read verse number 8. The Bible says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That, or in order that, thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Whithersoever thou goest. Now, we're told to keep the book of the law in our mouths. We're told to be willing and obedient. Then we'll eat the good of the land. If you keep the word in your mouth and meditate in it day and night, observe to do what's written in it, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. People want good success. They want their way to be prosperous, but they want to ignore God. Put God on the back burner. Don't give God front and center and first and foremost attention. Well, that'll get you in serious trouble, and some people it takes a longer period of time for them to recognize the patterns that begin to emerge in their lives, where suddenly they don't have time for the Lord. Oh, my, Marvin, I need that water tonight. Goodness. They don't have time for the Lord. Well, I tell you what, one of the best things a person can do is start their day out in the Word. You got to start your day in the Word. If you start your day any other way than in the Word of God, I'm going to tell you right now, you're wrong. And I'll say it that boldly. You're wrong if you get up and you got time to read the newspaper or watch the TV or do all this other stuff and ignore God. Man, I mean, the first thing you should be doing when you get up is have a devotion, spend some time with God. That's the first thing you do. First things first. I mean, truly, if you're going to seek first the kingdom of God, it ought to start and ought to be the first thing in your day too, right? I mean, my day starts like that. Every day, you know. And it's the right way to approach the day. It's the best way to start the day. And that will tend to everything else then, something that you ingested, that you took in, that will be there for you throughout the day. And you'll fall back upon it. You'll think about it. You'll talk about it. You'll meditate on it. Well, that's what this verse 8 is talking about. Getting the word in you, keeping it in your mouth, keeping it in your heart, meditating on it, doing what it says. And when you do that, the Lord makes your way prosperous. Ooh, man. He'll take care of us. So what about these hard decisions and tough choices? There are some things that we're going to address tonight. We need to observe to be obedient in our walk with Christ. And that doesn't mean just, you know, to that one area and the rest of it I can disobey. No, we need to really have a strong heart desire to come in line with his word in all these areas in our lives on a daily, daily basis. Well, I've seen a lot of people through the years proclaim their Christianity and they're strong believers, and today they're not even serving God. I know a lot of people like that. Talk is cheap. Don't ever forget that. It's the ones that continue to do it, continue to put it in their mouth, continue in that word steadfastly, that are when all the dust settles and others are dropping like flies, you keep pushing on and you keep moving on. And God has success for that person. But the ones that cave into the desires of the flesh, and like I said, suddenly church takes a back seat to everything else, reading the word, you know, oh, well, I pray and I want God to bless me and I want God to take care of me. And then he does, and then they turn their back on God. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever witnessed that? That is one of the most frustrating things for a pastor, when you pray with people and they get an answer to prayer and then you don't see them for 6-8 months. I'm just being honest with you. It's the truth. And you're going, wow, man. I mean, you're setting yourself up. God wants you to be, I mean, you're right there. You're on the precipice of stepping into that next level in your life, and you got your blessing, and it's like that's all you came for, and now you're gone. And if they just realize there's a whole lot more where that came from, right? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's look at these quickly. I've got 6 of them that I'm going to give you about this stepping up to the next level in our life, making some tough choices. Number one, it's hard for people to obey when they are unsurrendered. I wrote the word around there and I'm like, no, that's not right. It's hard to obey when there are unsurrendered areas in our lives that clash with the word of God. It's hard to obey when you've got some areas in your life that you're trying to ride the fence regarding. Obedience becomes much, much tougher when you've got some things in your life that you're allowing and you're letting happen, and you know good and well you need to cut that off. You know good and well you need to sever company with that a group of people over there, or this person, or that thing, or this habit, or whatever it may be. I mean, it ranges and varies from person to person. But the fact is, when you have some areas in your life that you have, you know, kind of like the closet sins, the secret sins, the things that we don't want to talk about and you don't want anybody to know about, and those are the things that are dogging you when you're not at the church. Hey, when we're in here, everything's cool. Everything's good. People have a easy time living holy right here. It's when you walk out the door and now Pastor Dan's over there and you're somewhere else, or the church family is not right there, and now you have decisions, tough decisions to make, and the enemy's pressing you. Now what do? The devil's tempting and pushing and coming at you. And see, that's how he keeps people in his control and in his in the patterns that he tries to establish in people. They're weak and they don't resist. They cave into the flesh and they don't do the word. And the more that you do that, the easier it gets to follow that path, which, by the way, is a very wide path. And that path leads to destruction. It really does. But the narrow path is staying on the, you've heard people say this, staying on the straight and narrow. What's that? That narrow pathway of the word, the walk of the word. Huh? That's what that is. That's what it is. And see the verse 8 again. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Hey, you got to be thinking about the Lord. Conscious of him every day. Remember on Sunday we talked about being conscious of the Lord moment by moment every day. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then, after you're doing that, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. The Lord will show you. He will bless you. He will give you creative ideas. He will tell you to go over here, and you'll be in the right place at the right time, and the blessings begin to happen. And then thou shalt have good success. Whew, man, I'll tell you what, this works. I'm living proof. I mean, there are a lot of living proofs in here tonight, okay? But the fact of the matter is, I can speak for me. I know the Lord has blessed me, not in just financial areas, but other areas. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot to be said about holding fast to your confession of faith and staying in the word and keeping the word and doing the word when others are pulling away and going another route. Amen. See, he may be Lord over some areas, but other areas are being ignored. For you and I, surrender is actually a good word. It's really a word of victory for us, the word surrender. Because when I surrender to him, when I surrender to him and let him work through me, I become exponentially stronger and more effective. When I do that, what do we get into? I don't know. I don't think I want to be nice to people. I don't think I want to do that. I kind of like that sin. I don't want to, just be honest about it. He knows anyway. You know, I like that sin. That's a good one. People don't ever really want to put it that way, but that's really the way people think. I mean, the flesh says, don't touch that one. You leave that one alone. That's the one you gotta have. You guys are all acting so innocent in here tonight, but that's okay. Praise God. Nobody will know. Just, we're supposed to be addressing these things in our lives. Amen. So he may be Lord over some areas, but others are being ignored. Don't ignore the tough areas. Number two, it's hard when obedience puts us at odds with people that we believe we need acceptance and approval from. Please write this down. Don't be a man pleaser. Don't compromise because of somebody that you're valuing their opinion. I'm very careful about whose opinions I value, to tell you the truth. Because there are those that have opinions about stuff. They may be knowledgeable about business practices and what have you, but they don't know boo about the Word of God. They know how to make money, or they this, they that, whatever. Okay, I'll try to eat the hay and spit out the sticks. You know what I'm saying? They might have a few good things to say, and that would be okay. I'll take that. But how to live life when it's a person that doesn't know the Word of God? I'm not going to seek to please or get the approval of somebody that doesn't even know enough to accept Christ and walk with him. What do I care what they think? I mean, are you that way? We have to not care what people think. Ultimately, it comes down to that in our lives. We have to be people that are not going to be so always looking to see who's approving of us and who's not. You know, that's really a form of fear. You think about that for a minute. Fear has been really out front, even in the body of Christ, the last month or so, with all this coronavirus stuff going on. People talk about, you know, I'm not afraid. Well, you know, it's like, I'm not afraid of that virus. No, you're probably not afraid of the virus. You're probably afraid of dying. Right? I'm afraid of the water. No, you're not really afraid of the water. You know what you're afraid of? Drowning and dying. I'm afraid to fly. No, you're not afraid to fly. You're afraid to crash. Right? Think about it. I'm afraid in closed-in places. No, you're afraid of suffocating is what you're afraid of. And ultimately, it's the fear of death. We should not be like the world. Do you hear me? We should not be like the world. We shouldn't be those that are cowering in fear over stuff. That's why it in many ways pains me to have to make these announcements about, you know, keeping your distance and not being able to shake people's hands and all that. I understand, and I'm doing it, whoever's watching. But the fact is, it just goes against me, you know, because I'm not afraid of death, and I'm not afraid of sickness. Where are you at? I've had people tell me, I'm not afraid. You look at them, you can see it in their eyes. Well, tell me you're not afraid. I know you're afraid. What are you afraid of? I'm not afraid of that virus. You know, you can't even see that virus. A little tiny microscopic thing. No, you're just afraid of dying. And the fear of death is something that the body of Christ ought to have under their feet. Am I right or am I right? I'm speaking what the word says. Amen? All right, so praise God. Thank you, Lord. Come on. Now, so be careful who you seek acceptance from. I tell you who I want acceptance from. My Father. I want to be found acceptable in His sight. And if I don't please Mr. So-and-so over here or Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so over here, then that's not who I'm trying to please. Okay? Now, we don't set out to hurt people and be displeasing. You know, we ought to be of good reputation, spoken of highly. That's right, but not seeking the approval of man. Number three, it can seem hard to obey God because you have a low tolerance for short-term discomfort. Anytime you start making tough decisions to resist something, the scripture says you have not yet resisted under the shedding of blood. You know, and the tithing area is a big one with some folks. See, tithing is the proof that you're not married to money. Tithing is proof that you don't idolize money. And I've heard people say this, well, if I had a lot of money, I'd tithe. Serious. What makes you think if you can't tithe off of $10 that you're going to tithe off of $10,000? You know, if you can't tithe off of a $100 blessing and put $10 back to the work of the Lord, whether it's in the church here or to another ministry or whatever, but if you can't do that, what makes you think if you had $1 million, you'd be ready to give $100,000 away? Yeah. Oh, it's again, talk is very cheap. But when you've been living on stolen money, hear me. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me in tithes and offerings and you make all sorts of excuses not to do it. I hope I'm not stepping on your toes, but if I am, I'm going to stand there for a minute. You know, and again, just so we're real clear, I'm not telling you, you got to put your tithe in here because I don't do that. And those of you that have come here know that. I want you to obey God and do what the Lord tells you to do. Because we've been trusting God and believing God, and God has brought us through so many times and so many things and taking care of our needs. But here's the thing. Here, it can be very uncomfortable when you've been living on basically stolen money because the Lord says the tithe is His and belongs to Him. That's the first tenth. And now you decide to start giving it. Ooh, boy. Think what I could have bought with that money. Hey, come on. Let's just be just brutally honest here. When you first started tithing and you caught a hold of the message, and maybe even now sometimes you're going, oh my goodness, that's a large tithe. You just cast that thought aside and say, no, I'm going to obey God. But the fact is, a lot of times people go, gee, I could have paid off all my bills with that right there. You know, it's like, no, no. Obey God. See, the temporary discomfort, especially in that area, people are living on stealing from God, and then they decide they're going to stop that and start giving it, and the flesh starts crawling, man. The flesh gets upset about that. You mean I can't have another bag of chips because we don't have the money to go and do that? You fat head, you don't need them anyway. Notice I said fat head. I could have said fat gut, you know, but whatever. Write down Malachi 3, verses 7 through 12. Those are the verses of Scripture that talk about tithing. People always throw this business out there, tithing's Old Testament. Well, it's interesting that Jesus addressed the subject, and it's talked about in the book of Hebrews 2. Gee, what do you do with that one, brother? Well, why don't you just admit it? You love your money, and you're afraid to lose it. Now, I dare you to start obeying God in your giving. And I'll tell you right now, I'm not going to say you got to give it here. I don't care if you go give it to somebody else. I'm not telling you you got to give it here. I want you to obey God. Because every time you obey God, man, he brings it back to you. He will bring it back to you. He will increase you. He will bless you. We've seen it. I talked to you about this before we started this church. So when we opened the account, we had $1,000. And we thought we were doing pretty good. $1,000 is nice, right? Amen. Now, when you're talking about building $500,000 plus buildings, it's $1,000 doesn't get you much. You know, one of these windows alone is around close, maybe $1,000, I think. I mean, whatever, probably more than that. But the fact is, you stay consistent. You give, you listen, you obey, and God blesses. But there are those tough times, and making a tough choice can be hard on your flesh. Just recognize it. Number four, it can seem hard to obey when you see temporal success as proof that all is well. Yeah, but look it, I'm doing fine. I don't tithe, and look what I've got. You ever hear that old expression, wait for the other shoe to drop? You know what I mean by that? Things can look good. I've known people that looked like they were doing fine and they refused to tithe, refused to give back to God. Now, I realize I'm talking to a bunch of tithers in here tonight, but the fact is we have people from all over the place watching these videos. And the thing is that, you know, when you start giving and you start obeying God, again, the flesh will fight you, but I've seen people where it looked like they were doing fine, and one day the bottom fell out. And they went from wildly successful to wondering where their next meal was going to come from. And they had no seed in the ground. How many of y'all know if you don't plant seeds out there in the garden, you've got nothing coming up? Truly, you'll have weeds. Yeah, you'll get plenty of those. And cedar trees. They think they're weeds here. In Wisconsin, we had cedars, and we love cedar trees. I know they're transplants down here. They're not native to Oklahoma, but they're everywhere. How many of y'all have cedars on your property? Anybody? Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. But when things look good, temporal success can fool you into thinking, but I'm the exception. Because I'm diligent with my money. If you're not obeying God with your money, there's some hard times coming. Just mark it down. There's potentially devastating financial times coming if you're not sowing seeds into the things of God somewhere. And again, I'll tell you again, you need to be cautious and careful where you plant your seeds. I don't just go out and find a hard, nasty, baked, solid, hard, red clay, try to dig a hole and put seeds down in it and put the dust over the top of it and expect it to grow. Where you plant is important. Amen. So that's why you've got to ask the Lord about your giving, always, always. But do it. Do it. Psalm 73 is another portion of Scripture that you can write down, and you can go read that. It looked like the wicked were prospering. You remember reading that in the book of Proverbs where it talks about the wicked seem like they're just doing so well? Have you ever thought that? You know, you see these people out there in the world that hate God, use the name of Jesus Christ like a four-letter, five, it's a five-letter, but they use it like a four-letter cuss word. C-H-R-I-S-T, it's six, yeah. Anyway, but they use the name of Jesus Christ like they just throw it around and use his name in vain like that all the time. And they have millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars. And the Christians are going, oh, look what they have. Their day's coming. If they don't repent, all that, the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. I would suggest these wicked people become the just. What does that mean? Does that just mean being nice? No, it means justified. That means made righteous. That means accepting Jesus and the blood of Jesus and being born again. Because if you're not born again, you are not the just. And the wealth of the wicked is being laid up for the just. Somehow or another, it's coming over into the hands of the just. I don't know how. We can't go and take it. I can tell you that. That's called robbery. You go to jail for that. Right. But it's being laid up. So whether they become the just or they, you know, turn it over to the just, whatever, it's going to happen. Psalm 73 speaks of that. But David, in writing that, saw that the end of their life was destruction. Things can look good. Things can look good on the surface. But at the end, let's see who's standing. It's really the truth. Number five, it's hard to obey when you consider postponement as an option. Well, I'll do that tomorrow. Remember me saying, I've joked about it, the best time to do everything is tomorrow. You know, I mean, let's put it off till tomorrow. Tomorrow's the best day to do anything. Tomorrow. No, you're postponing. Slow obedience is disobedience. If you be willing and obedient, so you have to be willing to do it and then do it. Slow obedience, dragging your feet. Now, it's one thing if you're seeking the face of God to know that you're hearing from God. And you can do that to be certain. And there you just have to learn how to hear and know when the Spirit of God is witnessing on the inside of you that you're making the right decision. There'll either be peace or there'll be what we call a check. A check in that it's like, something's just not right about this. It appears like it's a good deal, but I've got this gut feeling, yeah? Those gut feelings, the conscience of a Christian is the voice of their spirit man, your conscience, and it is a safe guide. Go by your conscience. You see, you're telling people to go by their conscience. To a born-again believer, that's the voice of the Spirit of God on the inside of you. We call it the conscience, but that's what that is. That still small voice on the inside of you. When, you know, you go in the store and you see something on the shelf and your thought is, I really would like that. I don't have the money for it. And on the inside you go, are you kidding? Don't do that. That's the conscience, right? Amen. Listen to it. But it's hard to obey when you consider postponement an option. Number six, it's hard when you don't have others around you to encourage you. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says that iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. And we need each other. Iron sharpens iron. In other words, when you get around somebody and you rub elbows with them, so to speak, or you exchange ideas and you fellowship one with another, iron sharpens iron. I get around people, I fellowship with them, they'll say something, I say something. It's nice to have a conversation with somebody when they will give back. I've learned over the years how to have a one-sided conversation. I mean, it's probably not even accurate in the wording of it because a conversation involves more than one. Unless you like to talk to yourself. I find myself talking to myself now and again. Do you do it? I speak the word to myself. And I'll speak something. I'll be driving down the road and I'll say, you know, this, that, and the other from the word of God. I'll start talking about the word of God. And I'll do it. And the Lord will give me stuff. And I'll reach over and hit my phone and hit the record. And I'll record stuff. I came over some things the other day. I was looking through my phone. And I came across some files that I had on there of sermon things I could tell. I was driving. And I was preaching what the Lord was giving me at the moment. And those turned into at least a number of sermons. That's how it happens many times. But speaking to yourselves, what does the Bible say? Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. Right? Sure. But when you don't have others to encourage you, around you to encourage you, that makes it more difficult. That's why you need the church. That's why you don't start letting the devil lie to you about you don't need to go to church. Can I hear another amen? Amen. I'll tell you, the enemy hates it when people start getting into church and they start getting in the word and they start taking the word and you know how many times he tried to discourage me from staying in the ministry over the years? About, like, you know, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just cash it in? I had a pastor, well, he really wasn't a pastor. He was a motivational speaker is what he was. But he was trying to pastor a church. And he came over to my house one day and said, you know, I know you're frustrated. I said, why do you say that? He said, I just know. I said, well, let me tell you right now, you're wrong. And this was right before we were getting ready to build this building. And I said, no, the Lord is doing marvelous things for us. Why don't y'all stand to your feet? You're good. And I said, no. He said, well, why don't you just tell all those people to come over to my church and you just close the doors of yours? I said, why don't you go ahead and go home? I was nice. You stop and you think then later on, why didn't I just pop them in the mouth? There wouldn't have been, you know. No, you don't. The flesh wants to do that kind of stupidity and you end up in jail over that. Why don't you just, you know, you could have said this. You ever have that? When you're dealing with somebody and you're caught off guard, you're in the moment and they came in with their guns a-blaring, and they came in ready. You had no idea what they were going to do. And they start pow, 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 you know, at you with the words of their mouth. And then you're going on the fly. And then after it's all said and done later on that day, you're thinking, I could have said this. I could have said that. Why didn't I say this? Why didn't I say, come on, every one of you that have ever been in a confrontation know exactly what I'm talking about. But what we do, instead, we say, Father, forgive them. And I had to do that with this man. I really did. And, you know, there were a lot of rumors circulating around and things that he was saying about me and the church and stuff. And I'm like, I don't want to hear it. My ears aren't garbage cans. I don't want to hear it. That man left the ministry and had to leave town. And, you know, I'm no ill feelings, really, seriously. I don't. But the fact is, you can't approach people like that. You have to deal honestly and uprightly with folks. And Frustration hits? Sure, it tries to hit. But I have learned over the years, you keep in fellowship with one another. You stay tight with the Lord. You stay close to your brothers and sisters. You'll get through anything. Guarantee you. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, you know, it kind of separates who knows whether they're called or not. And I ran from the calling. I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't want to teach the word of God. I was afraid to get up in front of people and talk. Are you kidding me? Strap a microphone on every time the service rolls around. I didn't want to do that. It's about the last thing I wanted to do. I was content teaching tennis and working at that club, and that was great, and I made good money, and, you know, I loved the Lord, hey. And the Lord kept talking to me. It's like, will you leave me alone, you know? I'm trying to learn a forehand volley. Like, that's really important, you know. Anyway, so I answered the call, and, you know, here I am all these years later. The Lord is blessing us and doing good things through us. And yeah, praise God, you know. I never would have been able to know you, see. You know, I wouldn't be here. I'd be somewhere else. She and I wouldn't be married. He wouldn't be here. You know, I mean, it's like God knows where I'd be. Out of his will, I can tell you that. But I'm in it now. Praise God. Well, let's bow our heads and go before the Lord tonight. Father, we thank you and praise you that as tough decisions come up, as things happen in our lives and we have to make some tough decisions to take the word and stand on the word, I thank you and I praise you that we will make the right decisions. We will spend the time with you, falling back on you, getting a godly counsel from one another and listening to the word and seeking your face and spending time in prayer and keeping you first, starting our day off in the word, Father. All the things that we can do to step up to that next level in you, I thank you for it. I praise you and bless you tonight. I give you glory, thanksgiving, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name, come on, if y'all can agree, say amen.